Okay, the end of Parshat Shalach, we have the episode of the Mikoshei Sheitzim. Mikoshei Sheitzim is Chayiv Misa for Chil Shabbos, although it's very unclear what the Chil Shabbos was. At least three opinions in the Gemara. Was it that he was Ma'avir, David Amos, Bishas Rabim? Was it that he was Tolish? Was it that he was Ma'amir? Whatever the situation was, he was Chayiv Misa for being with Chil Shabbos. And the Pesukim tell us, let's get up the share screen, a second. So come tell us, Vayubin Esau, Bamidbar, Vim, Suish, Mikosheshi, Timmy, Amashabas, Vayakribu, Osso, Homotim, Osso, Mikosheshi, Tim, Amashab, Labron, Kaleida, Vayanichu, Osso, Bamishmar, Kilo, Farashma, yes, hello. They put him in jail because they don't know what to do with him, says Rashi. Lo, you yodim, Eza, Misa, Yamus, Aval Yodim, Hayu, Shemachal, Shabbos, Misa. They didn't know what Misa he would get, but they did know he was Chayim Misa, and they put him in jail till they could figure out what Misa to give him and meet out that punishment at that time. Similarly, we have the Parsha of the Megadev in Emor, the end of Parsha's Emor, Perakot Dalid. They put him in jail as well. Says Rashi there, Livado. So it sounds like Chazal had a tradition that the Mekoshesh and the Megadev happened at the same time. They happened at the same time. The Yodim Hayusha Mekoshesh b'Misa. They knew that the Mekoshesh was Mechal Shabbos. They just didn't know what Misa. As opposed to the Mekalel, they didn't know whether he was Mechayiv Misa at all. So both of these situations, the perspective of our Yonim were put into jail as a way or a place to keep them safe until they figured out the appropriate punishment, not as a punitive measure, but simply as a holding pattern. And that's the context in which we have Mishmar or jail in these two parshios. The Gemara has a similar idea of jailing someone to make sure they don't run away or until we're able to resolve the question that needs to be resolved about their status. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Ches Amud Aleph onto Amud Beis. The Mishnah there says, Hamakas Chaveiro Bein Be'Evin Bein Be'Grof Vamdu L'Misa. If a person inflicts a wound on someone else with a stone, with a fist, and the estimation is that the wound was severe enough that the guy should die from it, but then he gets better, and then he gets worse and dies, according to Tanakam Yishayev, that's considered to be Chiyuv Misa for killing the other person. Says, no, he's Pater. The fact that he got better, there was an indication that the original Makkah wasn't what killed him, and there are other contributing factors to his death. So the Gemara tells us, Tana Rabbanan, Azudar Rabbi Nechemia, V'im Yakum V'Salech B'chus Amin Shantom V'Nikam Makkah. The Pasuk says about who injured someone else fatally, that if he then gets up and walks around, then the person that hit him will be absolved of responsibility. What's the Havamina? You would have thought that someone injures somebody, doesn't die, and then you're going to kill the aggressor, but he didn't kill him. You know, we're talking about the case, the Chiddush is, that he hit him in such a way that he could have died. And then it got better, and then it got worse, that he's Pater. So the Rabbanan would argue and say that even that case is Chayim Misa. What do they do with the Pasuk of Nikam Makkah? So it teaches us that you put him in jail in the interim. And Rabbi Nechemi learns Chavisha from the Mekoshesh. That's the model of putting someone in jail. What's the purpose of putting him in jail in this situation where he hits someone else and are waiting to see whether the other person dies of his wounds or not? Says Rashi. That if the evaluation is that the Reuven injured Shimon in such a way that Shimon may die, so then we put Reuven in jail to make sure he doesn't run away. We have to see whether Shimon's going to die from his wounds. So you have to keep Reuven under close watch to make sure he doesn't run away to see if he'll end up being culpable for having killed Shema. And that's what the pasuk comes and teaches us over here, when he comes back at, that you put him in jail. So here also, the instance of jail in this context in the Gemara is to have someone in a state where he's not going to run away till we resolve what his status is and whether there is a punishment that needs to be meted out. And Rashi also understands a Gemara im Sachim in this light. Gemara im Sachim, that's Sadi Aleph and Aleph. The Mishnah tells us, Misha hiftichu lahotzi mibeis asurim. So in order to be counted for Korban Pesach, to be part of a Chabura, to either Korban Pesach and Erev Pesach, there has to be a reasonable assumption that the person included will be able to partake of the Korban Pesach that night. So let's say someone's in jail. If he's in jail, he obviously can't partake in the Korban Pesach, but they promise that they're going to release him in time for the holiday. So the Mishnah says, that situation, someone who's promised to get out of jail, shochtin alei, you can include them in the Korban Pesach. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Barifuna Amar Rav Yochanan, lo shanu el beis asurim denakrim. What jail are we talking about? We're talking about a jail of non-Jews. Aval beis asurim de Yisrael. However, if it's a beis asurim of Jews, shochtin bifnei atzmo, kevin shaftechinu mapikle. The Gemara has the following distinction, that if it's a non-Jewish jail keeper, non-Jewish jail, so we don't trust the non-Jews, that they promise they're going to let the Jewish guy go home for Pesach, we don't trust them, we can't count them on the Korban Pesach. But if it's a Jewish jail, so then we assume that if they promise that they'll let the guy go home, to eat his Korban Pesach, they're going to keep to their word. So why is this personal? What's the Beis Asurim for? Says Rashi. Rashi has three possibilities. So we're going to focus now on the last one, then we'll come back to the first ones. First, Rashi says, Kigon lakufa lahotzi isha psula. Maybe he's in jail because a guy's married to a woman that he's not allowed to be married to, and we're using jail as a way of coercing him to divorce his wife. Oh, l'shali mamon, or the person owes money, he's not paying up, he has the money perhaps to pay. We put him in jail to compel him to pay up. And the third situation that Rashi tells us, that's our concern for the moment, is he nami kedetani im yakum v'salech b'chutz v'chital adach zemahal b'shuk v'zanarag. The Gemara we just saw in Sanhedrin, I'm alam shachov shenu savat shenir matayilav. That situation where you injure someone in such a way that he may not die, you have to put him in jail till to make sure it doesn't run away until the situation resolves itself. So again, Rashi, we'll come back to the first two suggestions in Rashi, but the third suggestion is as for that Gemara we saw in Sanhedrin, using jail as a holding pattern to resolve a person's status, whether he's going to be chayav misa, and making sure that he doesn't run away in the interim. There is a similar context discussed in Poskim of putting someone in jail to ensure that he doesn't run away in the following context. The Shulchan Aruch tells us, Shin Lamites if Dalid, or Achayim, Simon Shin Lamites if Dalid, that there's a din d'rabban, and you're not allowed to have a din Torah on Shabbos. It's one of the gzeiros that you may come to write something down. So you're not allowed to have a din Torah on Shabbos, lest you come to write something down. Says the Ramah, Shin Lamites if Dalid, V'lachain, Aser Litpos Ulahachnis L'beis HaSoar, Mishin Eschayiv Eza Onesh, Kedei Shelo Yivrach. So just as you're not allowed to be done on Shabbos, you're also not allowed to catch someone and put him in jail in order to ensure that he doesn't run away. And putting someone in jail is a form of din. You can't do that on Shabbos. And the motivation that you would put someone in jail is because he's chayiv ezo onesh, and you want to make sure that he doesn't run away until you're able to give that punishment. Rabbi Kiv Eger there on the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Shuvah, the Shvus Yaakov. Shvus Yaakov was in Prague, late 1600s, early 1700s. Shvus Yaakov, Chelek Aleph, Simen, Yud, Dalet. So the initial context of the Shvus Yaakov is he's addressing a situation of, the story was there were two people that were ambushed, injured. One of them died from his injuries. The other one was in a precarious situation, was able to run away. And they're worried the second guy may die also. And they wanted him to be able to say Eidus that the first person had been killed in order to allow that person's wife to remarry Eidus Isha. Normally, you wouldn't have a yeshiva's bezdin on Shabbos. However, in this situation, where they're worried that the person may die, so the Shmos Yaakov discusses allowing him to testify to bezdin about the fact that he saw the first person killed in order to save that person's wife from being in a state of igud. But then it goes on to say, "Umehani tami shekasafti haresi gamken be'echad shaya rotzel livroach ulaginis ishto." Someone wanted to run away in order and be Ma'agin's wife. So he allowed L'chovsho b'Shabbos to imprison him on Shabbos. Af shalo nala mimenu, this, so he quotes a discussion in the Gaonim, whether that's permissible to put someone in jail on Shabbos to make sure that he doesn't run away over Shabbos. So that's a machlokas ga'onim. So Shmos Yaakov says in this situation, even though in general we would view this as an extension of din, as the Rama says, but in order to save a woman from a gun, we can jail someone to make sure that he doesn't run away and then deal with him after Shabbos, and that wouldn't be a violation of being done on Shabbos. Again, this is not a situation of putting someone in jail because we don't know what punishment to mete out. But similarly, putting him in jail so he doesn't run away until we're able to take care of the situation afterwards. Again, another instance of using jail just as a way of holding on to someone until a situation can resolve. Parenthetically, in that context of putting someone in jail on Shabbos, it's a discussion as to whether there's a violation of the malacha of tseda, of trapping, when it comes to people. As usually we assume that tseda is a problem with an animal or some other kind of a living organism. And the pashas is that doesn't apply to human beings. However, the Sefer HaKovetz in the back of the Rambam, Perek Yud Shabbos Halacha Kaf Beis, that in a situation where the Menachos discusses, and Menachos HaMachdal discusses the situation of a fisherman who is being Mechal Shabbos and going fishing on Shabbos. And it just so happens that as he's going fishing, he also saves a baby that was drowning in the water. So the Gemara there discusses that is he chayev for Chil Shabbos or is he putter because he essentially, even though that wasn't his intent, did an action of pikuach nefesh. So maybe we view that as a single action. He should be putter. So there the Gemara says, Rava says that he is nevertheless chayev. But as part of that discussion, Sefer Kovetz on the Rambam notes that if a baby falls into the water and you spread out a net and catch the baby, maybe that is a talada of tseda based on this Gemara in Menachos. So there are many reasons that may not be the case. The pashas says that's not the case. And if it is the case, maybe it's limited to a baby who doesn't have, a drowning baby that doesn't have the ability to move independently. But that's just mamar hamuzgar, whether there's a possibility that a person could ever violate tseda in trapping a human being on Shabbos. So the Sefer Kovetz says, that situation, that Gemara, he thinks is a violation of Tzedah. The Pashas says that's probably not the case. But he thinks that in that situation, there may be a violation of Tzedah as well. Okay. Rishonim discussed another potential application. This is one of the examples we just saw in Rashi, possibly in Tzachim. We should discuss another potential application of using jail as a way of forcing a lender to pay back money that is owed. There is a Chuvas HaRash, Klal Samaches Sifyud. Klal Samaches Sifyud, where the Rush totally rejects this as having any legitimacy. There are no grounds for essentially using what he considers to be physical punishment and jailing someone to be considered physical punishment as a means of enforcing a financial obligation or as forcing someone to pay up a loan. However, Chuvas HaRivash, Simon Tuf Pedalid, even though he doesn't think it's a starting point that this is appropriate, Al Pi Ruach HaTorah, does reference situations and communal practices in his day in Spain where this was done, Spain and then North Africa. So he writes, the Shaila was, Reuven borrowed money from Shimon. And he was mishabed himself to pay back, even with a physical shibud, so to speak. So is there license, is there legitimacy for putting that person in jail in order to force him to pay back the money that is owed? So one of the things he discusses is, what about Dina de Mechusadina? If it's the civil law norm to jail someone in that situation, is there a Dina de Mechusadina component? So he says no, because first of all, such a Dina de Mechusa only existed in one certain province, and that isn't consistent with the way the Torah operates. So the fact that there is such a Dina de Mechusadina norm doesn't mean that someone subjects himself to that kind of punishment. However, he does acknowledge that in his city, there was such a practice of taking a lovav who owed money and putting him in jail to force him to pay up the money. And he says that even though he wouldn't necessarily endorse that or have created that situation on his own, if it's done and that's a communal norm, then maybe there are grounds to justify it. However, he says that's only the case if the person that you're putting in jail has the means to pay it back. He has the money, just doesn't want to part with the money. So then you could entertain putting him in jail as a way of compelling him to pay back the money. But if the person is poor, he doesn't. I'm sorry? As far as the Dina of the Chusadina. So he says that Imza Hisna Lishaya Balva also Kafiya Chokahu Midin Tarasenu, that ain't Tanaizamoel, that you can't make that kind of a Tanai to subject yourself to that which isn't appropriate al Pidine Torah. He quotes a rush, Kasakem is Shuva Shela, Fila Hisna Lasma Shifa Samabaskufa, that's not binding. Because a person doesn't have the ability to be mochel, so to speak, on any kind of physical shibud for owing money. But if there's a takana sakal, so then he acknowledges that the takana sakal may have some binding force. He says, I myself would want to be mochel against the takana sakal. But people say that you need it in order to prevent ramayim, prevent people from beating the system. Shalotinos del v'snei lovim, if you don't allow this, and people are going to stop lending money. So as a necessary evil, the Rivash says he could be okay with it, but only if the person has the means to pay. If he's poor and it has no ability to pay, then simply putting someone in jail is a punitive measure where it's not going to result in an actual repayment of the loan would be problematic. And this is reflected in Shulchan Aruch as follows in Choshe Mishpat, Simin, Sadi Zayin, Sif Tesvav. Yesh Misha Omer, She'en Shaliach Bezdin Aser Likanas Beis L'mashkano, that Bezdin can't have an agent come and confiscate. Then the Mechaber says, even if you make a tanai that the malva has a right to exert physical compulsion against the lender, and they even write it in the loan document, ain't no mobile, that's not effective. Then you can't put him in jail. But the Rama says, Vidafka Shayla Lashalim, based on the Rivash, that's only if he can't pay back. Avalam Yeshlo, Vaina Russell Lashab, if he can't pay back, he doesn't want to. Then Bezdin Chovshin Asov, Ayumakin Asov, Ashitetin Afshin. Then Bezdin put him in jail. They could even beat him up to force him to pay. That's based on the Chuvas HaRivash that we just saw. The Yesh Omrim, Dafilu Ein Lo Lishalim, and Nishba Lios Chovish Ashishalim, Sarach Lekan Shuaso. And Yesh Omrim, that if he took a Shvua, that he'll go to jail if he doesn't pay. So maybe that has some binding effect as well. So the Mechaber just quotes the Rush, nothing to talk about. Out under no circumstances are you allowed to jail a borrower who hasn't paid up. And the Rebbe quotes the Rivash that under certain circumstances it may be okay. Piskei Tshuva there, quote from the Tumim, from Yom Tzayibishitz, that the minhag in his time was that people would put lenders in jail when they didn't pay up. Maybe that's because they're worried that they're trying to hide their assets. And Vitzarachian, whether that's appropriate, he wasn't sure if that's appropriate. There are other situations where there may be precedent for jailing someone as kind of a haras shah. The Gemara tells us in Yavamah Tafsani and other places that Beis Din has the authority, makin v'onesh shalom min hadin, Beis Din can mete out extra legal punishment if it's Rav Shalom Bigdar Milsa, if it's for a specific situation for the functioning of society, if there's a specific need at a specific time. So that could, in theory, be a model for using jail more broadly than the examples that we have in Chazal and Rishonim. Chuvas HaRivash talks about that in Siman Reish Nun Aleph. Rabbi Tzvi Ben Yaakov from the Beit Din in Tel Aviv, now he's also in the Beit Din HaGadol, in Mishpatech LeYaakov Chela Gimel Siman Lama Gimel, in a piece in which he tries to justify the authority that the Beit Din HaGadol have in Israel nowadays to order some in jail in order to enforce their psakim, which at first glance doesn't really have precedent.
And tonight, reaction coming in from Washington. No surprise here, Democrats and Republicans deeply divided on gun laws. Tonight, Kevin.
But in trying to justify whether Beis Din really does have the authority halachically to have someone jailed in order to enforce a psak, so he points out there is precedent for this in the makim v'onesh shalom in a din category, that in order to enforce a psak, maybe you could do this. He quotes, for example, Tshuvas HaRitva, Siman Kuf Nun Tes, with a fascinating storyline. Kiskimu akal viskinu takan al Yitzhak bar Avram Madro il Avram ben Yosef ben Plas. So he tells us their names. Shenimsu beis hakneses hine bedroka belayla voche sheinim akalam itaseyam. So in the middle of the night when everyone was sleeping, they came to shul. Vischilu lishbor delasa sahechal. They started banging down, breaking of the Aron Kodesh, Asher B'soch HaSefer Torah, K'dei Ligno V'Kasef Shalei, and they wanted to steal the silver on the Sefer Torah. The sum was on by Mishmar, they put them in a jail. U'Baruch Hushneim in a Mishmar, then they ran away from the jail. The Sidru Takana Leim K'mo Shetira, and then they made a Takana, as he explains, that they expelled them from the city for 5 years. But in the context of the storyline of the Ritva, so it does emerge, there are situations where jail could be used even as a potentially punitive matter if it's the kind of haras shah situation where there's a specific need at a specific time. So Rabbi Ben Yaakov argues that the authority invested in the Beit Din in Israel to order someone to go to jail in order to enforce a psakim is consistent with this notion of a Beis Din Makim V'Onesh Shalom Min HaDin, even if it's not, strictly speaking, Al Pi Ruach HaTorah, but if it's necessary to enforce the Pesach of Beis Din, there may be grounds to do that. The only precedent that you really have for using jail as some kind of a punitive measure, even though it's not really that, is the Din of Kippah. Right? The Mishnah tells us in Sanhedrin Adaf Pei Alpha Mibes, Ahoreg Nefesh Shalom Be'edim, if someone murders and there are no witnesses to testify to the murder, you put him into a cell, you give him a minimal diet, and as the Gemara explains, he's going to die in that they'll give him such a diet that he's going to explode, that he's not going to make it. So the instance of kippah is limited to a situation where there's a lack of evidence or the lack of Torah sufficient evidence to kill someone, but there's significant reglaim ledavra that he committed the act that he should be chayim misafor, meaning everyone knows that he killed the other guy, just we don't have the technical requirements of Eidus in order to kill him. So in that situation, under limited circumstances, there is a model of kippa, of putting someone in jail and creating a situation where he's going to die. But that doesn't really apply much more broadly. So as far as what the utility of jail is in a halachic society, it seems that the model that we have, number one, is putting someone in jail in order to await sentencing, await punishment. If someone committed a crime and we're waiting to determine what the punishment is going to be. Possibly, as we saw the discussion we showed on the Rush and the Rivash and others, there may be grounds under certain circumstances if someone owes money and is not paying back the money as a way of compelling him to pay back, at least if he has the money to pay back. And the example of Rashi and Sachim, that if someone is married by Isser and we want to compel him to divorce his wife, so that might be a tool that could be used. And then more broadly, the Bez Demakin V'Onshin Shalom and Adin, that allow certain extra legal measures when necessary in order to enforce the directives of Bez Din, just as Rishonim have, that Shuvas HaRivash, Rishon Aleph, that in the Spain of his day, they would on occasion kill people who the government gave them the authority to kill people who violated certain halachic norms, even though these are not things that you'd be chayav misa for per se, or things that you had the proper halachic system for being chayav misa totally al pi din Torah. So there is that notion of makan v'onshin shalom and adin, l'rath shal l'migdar milsa, which may be grounds for a more expansive use of jailing in certain circumstances, but a halachic society doesn't view jail as a effective or necessary or proper means of punishment as a default, other than in the specific circumstances where it comes up. So,
or if someone's doing like an avera, you don't have to whatever you see in that bell, which we can't do now, the rashes keep going on both Tisha Tula. So, would it mean anytime someone's doing any avera then? That you couldn't otherwise punish them?
So that Rashi is not, I don't think that's a punishment. I think that's a means of kfiya to get them to stop doing that Avera. So in those situations where there's a kfiya that could be... Right, and even by the Baal Chol, so part of the justification possibly of jailing someone in order to have him pay back his debt is that the mitzvah, priyas Baal Chol mitzvah. So you're being kofel ala mitzvah, so that may be a form of kofel ala mitzvah. So if a person violates or isn't fulfilling an essay, there is the din of kviya. So this may be a form of kviya. So that's a societal situation that in order to protect someone, so to put someone briefly, to prevent them from running away, in order to get to the resolution of the issue, that's in the spirit of the example of Mishmar and Ar Sedra, of holding on to him, that he doesn't run away until we resolve the issue. So if he's not leaving aside a get mu'usa exposure, but as far as ma'asar, putting someone in jail, then that's the example of the Shavuos Yaakov and others that could be acceptable. Okay, I have to go Dav Meir, so stop.
Shkoach.
Thank you. Okay, have a good Shabbos.
Shabbos.